the one that we'd like to do is one that testifies to the greatness of God. How great are you, Lord? How great is your mercy? How great are the things that you've done for me? And you could recount those things. You might like to share some of them later on. How great are you, Lord? How great is your mercy? How great are the things that you have done for me? How great are you, Lord? Your loving kindness is filling my heart as I sing. How great are you, Lord? How great is your love that reaches to the heavens? How great is your heart that sought and rescued me? How great are you, Lord? How great is your mercy? How great are the things that you have done for me? How great are you, Lord? Your loving kindness is filling my heart as I sing. How great are you, Lord? How great is your love? How great is your love that reaches to the heavens? How great is your heart that sought and rescued me? How great are you, Lord? Your loving kindness is filling my heart as I sing. How great are you, Lord? It's filling my heart. It's filling my heart as I sing. How great are you, Lord?
I would have to say thank you for your blessing. Thank you for the many blessings
that we know. Thank you, Lord, even in times of sadness and grief, we know that there is hope and there is comfort that comes from you, and that your hand is upon us. And Lord, we would be lifting up brothers and sisters who face sadness and grief. And Lord, we would especially want to lift up our sister Judy, as Lord, tomorrow will be the remembrance of David's passing from this life and into your presence. And we would pray your blessing upon Judy and her family. And we thank you that we can call out to you, Lord, on one another's behalf, and intercede, Lord, and play our part together. And Lord, just be reminding us tomorrow, may there be a chorus of prayerful support, Lord, for Judy, and Lord, to our sister Nola and her family, and all that they face too, as George's time on earth is complete, and Lord, in your presence there is fullness of joy. So Father, we would just say thank you that we can live with confidence, and we can live with hope, and we can know your presence and your hand upon us, holding us, Lord, even through, Lord, death's dark veil. And so we thank you, Lord. We would commit this time to you, and Lord, just the way that we fellowship and the things that we are needing to grasp and to grow in, Lord, guide us in these things, we pray. And we thank you now that we can ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'll be so bold as to say, if there's someone here that has just one thing, it doesn't have to be any more than just you know, 20 or 30 seconds of something you'd like to share. What is it that God has been growing in your life? And the reason I ask this is because, well, while you're thinking about it, let me read Isaiah 55. I want to read it now, and I would like somebody to be ready to read it a little later on, because it bears reading and rereading and rereading again. It was about 4 weeks ago that the Holy Spirit prompted me to come to this place and to read chapters either side. Amazing, amazing scripture. Imagine something that was said back in 1308. I don't know whether anybody has been reading history recently and whether something was written back in 1308. Is there anybody? Oh, what a surprise. Nobody has anything to share from 1308. You know, when Jesus arrived, it was 700 years in the book of Isaiah that it had been prophesied that this is what would be. And it's amazing that God made it really clear in his word about what he intended to do. And yet when Jesus arrives, they expected a different type of Messiah. And yet Isaiah made it absolutely clear. You could read back in Isaiah in chapter 52, 53, and you would wonder why. Why is it that they didn't expect Jesus the way that he came? And I think it's a little bit for people then like it is for us now. We have our own set ideas. And I think sometimes we can have our own set ideas so set in our minds that we miss the things that God is saying to us and the things that where he wants to do some glorious readjustment in our lives. Well, listen to this, because it's just wonderful good news. It says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, you who have no money. Come and buy and eat. Come and buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen. Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, and that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the people, a leader and a commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you do not know, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked man forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him run to the Lord and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so my word that goes out from my mouth will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I send it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you. All the trees of the fields will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine. Instead of the briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed." So do you think it's reasonable that I ask you the question, what is it that God has been growing in your life? Now, if we go over into Isaiah 61, we will see that Isaiah says a similar thing. And you might like to read that through the week. The whole of the chapter is just amazing. It's the part that Jesus turned to when he returned out of the wilderness and was passed the scroll, and he And he read the words that are in this chapter and said, today this has been fulfilled in your hearing. And it goes on to say that they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. God wants your life to be a signpost of something marvelous that he's doing in your life. God wants our lives together to be a signpost that are for the display of his splendor. And so I ask the question, what's God been growing in your life? And I don't know if there's anybody who say, well, through this time of isolation, there's been some things that he's planted and starting to bud a little bit in my life. As a family, we've been thrust into some areas of gospel ministry that we didn't plan for. We said back right about the end of last year, about this time last year, we sensed what we were about would be to many in 2020. In other words, the gospel of Christ, the good news that is offered to mankind would be made known to many in 2020. And we didn't expect that would mean that we would learn how to do church online. And we certainly didn't expect that we would be engaging quite deliberately and consistently in caring for people in a fairly widespread way in the East Gippsland community, because we didn't know there was going to be devastating bushfires. There's been so many exciting things happen that we could spend the whole morning just talking about it, but I've asked if Norm and Lynn and William would just share a little bit, just to update the family on some of the things. Now, those that have been out and been pulling down sheds and picking up corrugated iron and rolling up fences and putting new fences up and doing other things, building chook houses and woodsheds and all sorts of things, you've seen firsthand, but many haven't seen firsthand just what that amounts to, and I just thought it'd be helpful.
Thank you, William, and Norman Lynn, and everybody that's been part of this work. And we know that it's not just us, because Bairnsdale Church have been also quite active and taken a lot of initiative, as have the Corryong Church. And like William said, it's been good to get together. We've done some Zoom meetings, we've done a couple of face-to-face ones where we've actually sat down and sort of, you know, shared ideas about what each church is doing in their community, and that's been a real encouragement. The fact that many, many other churches have partnered with us, and God's provision for this has been quite amazing, has been a real faith-building thing for us as a church. And even if you were to say to Norm or Lynn or William, look, I'd love to go out with you, once a month and do a run with you, because you would find that actually going out in those places, it would be eye-opening. Your company would be appreciated. William does a lot of miles on his own. And you might just find you're just the right person to talk to somebody that William or Norm or Lynn might be catching up with that day. And so I'd encourage you to think, well, I might not be able to walk up and down hills and build fences, but I can be a listening ear. And that's what really people need. When we've arrived at places, one lady met with William and I as we've been there for about, I think, the fourth time on her property, a woman on her own. And she just said, as we sort of were hopping straight into the work, she said, you guys are just so, you're so consistent. And she said, you're just so consistent. And I thought, well, we said we'd be here. Of course we'll be here. But that's what's blessing people, is somebody just willing to turn up and be there. And it just really reminds us of the heart of God, where, you know, when Jesus it was an attempt at surprising Jesus and put him to the test. And a lawyer comes up to him and grills him, and he says, you know, like, you know, what are the greatest commandments, you know? And Jesus said, well, how do you read it? And he said, well, to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the other is like to love your neighbour as yourself. And Jesus said, you're right. But this lawyer decides that he would like to somehow, you know, kind of worm his way out or get clarification, I'm not sure what. And he says, yes, but who is my neighbour? And then Jesus tells the parable that all of us are familiar with. In fact, many people in the world are familiar with the parable of the Good Samaritan. He's often referred to. And so Jesus makes the point about, you know what, if you just walk past, if you walk past on the other side of the road, that's not loving your neighbour. And I think for us in end of 2020, the beginning of 2021, it's not time for us to walk past people on the other side of the road and say their insurance should fix it. You could ask Don how insurance companies love fixing things. Don and Margaret will tell you about that. It's part of the stress of the process. Or you might say, well, East Gippsland Shire should fix it. Well, they're doing a good job in lots of ways, but they're also stretched in lots of ways. And our community actually needs the church to be loving these neighbours. So my encouragement would be, yeah, knock Lynn down in the rush to be part of putting campus together. We'll pick her up again. Yeah, be part of that, because that's just blessing. That's blessing people who probably are just being missed. It's blessing the people that are caring, and God's provision for that is flowing in, even just as we shared the idea. God's provision, we prayed about, God's provision starts to flow in. Be part of that. It'll be good for your heart. And we got a crew going up to
Goongra
on Tuesday, Wednesday, and doing some fencing up there for a bloke named Butterfly. So pray for us while we're up there, and that we have a really good and effective time. So it's opportunity in 2020 and 21 for us to continue to love our neighbour. Our neighbours, the Baptist Union, are committed to continuing to stand with us, because they also know that this is a long haul, and it is opening doors for the good news, which is to many in 2020. So I wonder, can we just pause and pray for this great need right on our doorstep, that we have our eyes opened and respond to. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the way that you have opened up opportunity for us to do the very thing, Jesus, that you declared we should be doing, and that is to love our neighbour properly. And Lord, I pray that we might see that there'll be many people this Christmas time that are still living in temporary accommodation in a caravan or a shed, with everything about them that just has the marks of destruction. And Father, I pray that through your people, whether it's this church or any church that is actively involved, that they would see that, Lord, you love them, and that, Lord, you are God who provides, and that, Father, that sometimes you do that through the hands and the feet of your people. So, Lord, bless and direct us in our response. Bless William and Norm and Lynn as they spearhead this work and lead us in this, and enable them, give them a great deal of sensitivity, but, Lord, give us a sensitive heart to ways that we can stand with them, and way that we can take what you've given us so that it can be used to bless people who have lost pretty much everything. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the clarity of your word that says if there are two things that you need to understand, it's to love me and to love people. Lord, enable us to do that, I pray, in so many different areas. And we ask this in Jesus' name. I actually wondered how I'd go.
I stand in front of real people again. Will I be okay at this ever again? And I'm trusting the Lord that he will make sense of his word as I share it with you this morning. As I said, this was on my heart about 4 weeks ago, and I felt like the Holy Spirit saying, just wait. And I'm glad to have had the opportunity. I trust you've been glad to have the opportunity to hear from Daniel Bullock, the Director of Mission and Ministry with the Baptist Union, and what he sort of challenged us with is about the place of God's priorities in our lives. And I was also glad we were able to have Alan DeMond, the pastor at New Hope, and that partnership that we've had with them over this last year, where they've played a part and actually facilitated a lot of the initiative that we first took, and with bushfire response, and that was a miracle in itself, and And they have given very generously and continue to support us in this. And we're so grateful for that, even though the period of financial support has run out, but other support is still there, and we're so grateful. And so I wonder whether some of the questions that were put to you, the prayer that Alan, or the prayers that Alan de Monde asked you to pray, Lord, you know, what's all this for? You know, all that God has given you, if you would ask the question, pray and seek the Lord, say, Lord, what have you given me all this for? That's a pretty courageous and trusting prayer to pray. And the other prayer that he asked us, praise Lord, would you heal my heart? And I think the reason that we need to have a healed heart is because it's so easy to allow a brokenness to exist in us that actually exists in the world, where the world thinks that life is all about me. And we, growing up in that sort of environment, that sort of society, we can think life is all about me as well. And if I got a little bit of time and a little bit of energy, well, maybe I'll help out somebody else, but it's all about me. And yet God teaches us something completely different, and he calls out to us in our brokenness, that broken understanding of life. He calls out to us. And I love the beginning of this, where we see in the Old Testament the grace of God that's held out to people. And it's not law where you have to obey and fulfill the requirements of God. It's grace that's extended. And it's amazing. This could do your head in if you think about it. Because it says, come all you are thirsty, come to the waters, you who have no money. Come and buy and eat. Come and buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Well, how do you buy anything without money? How do you do a transaction when you've got nothing to offer? The amazing thing about God is he knows that we've got nothing to offer. He knows that we come with a broken mindset. He knows that we come with broken hearts. And he knows that we can't come to him and meet his requirements. And so he invites us, come you who have nothing. Come you who are broken. And it just reminds me of the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, where Jesus says similar words, come to me, all you who are tired and weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I'm humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Those words have meant so much to me, and I know meant so much to many of you. But what a magnificent invitation, what a gracious invitation, and what a glorious adjustment happens in our lives when we accept that kind of invitation. And I know many of us could testify to that. We don't come when we're good enough. We don't come when we've got it all together. We don't come when we look really acceptable. We come when we're broken and we've got nothing. When we've got nothing to trade to get what we need. And that's what God is saying to us and has said to people for so long. And I think people struggle with that. I think we can even struggle with that. We have the idea that, well, if I'm good enough, well, God will bless me. I think it's a bit of a hand-me-down from our parenting when we are children. You know, if you're a good boy, you know, most parents use that kind of, reward for good behaviour thing. And I think we sort of put that onto God and say, well, you know, if I'm a good boy before God, well, God will hear my prayer. Or if I'm a good boy before God, well, God will open up good things to me. There's only one way to come, and that's to come knowing that you're broken and that you haven't been a good boy and you haven't been a good girl, and yet he invites you to come. And he invites you to listen, and he invites you to hear from him. I just love in the latter part of verse 3, he says, Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. You know, give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. You know, last week when Alan de Monde shared what he shared which was what we sort of directed you toward with the link with Church Online, he talked about, you know, us struggling with a thin soul, a barren soul. I chatted to a young guy on Friday who dropped in, and he just dropped in out of the blue. He usually works out of Eildon and serves there, and he's been away in New South Wales. His family are in Queensland. He dropped in just as he was heading north again. And, you know, he said, you know, throughout COVID, I asked how he had travelled and how the journey had been. And he said, you know, throughout COVID and with my my employment just stopping. He works in the outdoor education area, and of course there's no school groups going, working with his organisation. He said, you know, I wanted to continue to give. I wanted to be generous through COVID. And the thing that I found was that as I set my heart to continue to give and to continue to be generous through COVID, God just kept providing for me. He just kept giving me more than I expected, and I was able to continue and even be more generous than what I was when I was on a wage. And, you know, Alan DeMond put the challenge to us and said, you know, in asking God, what's all this for? All the wealth that I have, what's it for? What do you want me to do with it? Well, this young man had lived that out and had proved that God is as generous as he says he is. And that was one of the things that Alan said last week. Do you really believe as he says he is? And I think that's a good question. Because if God is as generous as he says he is, well, then let's live with a generous heart. Let's live understanding I've got what I've got to manage well so that it can be a blessing to people that God has put me near. Or the other way of thinking is that, well, actually, I'm not sure that God is as generous as what he says. I don't know that I believe that when he says that he's generous, when he says, you know, see that I will do this, well, I don't know whether I can trust God with that. Because, after all, it's my money. And you know, we can live with what Alan DeMond said was a thin soul, with a malnourished soul, and we can stop trusting that God is as generous as what he says he is. I love it. He says, yeah, listen to me. Listen. And eat what is good, that your soul will delight in the richest affair. Give ear and come to me and hear me, that your soul may live. Not to have a thin, malnourished soul, but that your soul may live. He says, I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. God is a promise-keeping God. If God enters into a covenant, God keeps that covenant. God made a covenant with David. It was fulfilled in Christ. God has proved his love. God loves you more than you can calculate. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for you. If you're not sure about what tomorrow is going to bring and you're not sure about the stresses and the difficulties and the challenge you face, know this, that God loves you. If you've got a father that cares for you, I've got a father that's sitting up the back of the room. I know he's cared for me. I remember when I was a little boy sitting in church on my dad's knee. It was the safest place in the world. And he used to wear a tweed jacket and it was a prickly thing, but my little tender cheek, it's not so tender now, would be nestled against my dad's chest on the lapel of his jacket. It was prickly, but it was the safest place in the world because I knew my dad loved me. And I count myself blessed to have known that. Trevor was sharing with me the other day. He said he lost his dad when he was 3 years old. He doesn't have those kind of memories. But he's got a heavenly father that loves him. And he knows that well. And no matter what your experience in life has been, you've got a heavenly father that loves you, and God wants you to know that well. So his faithful love is promised to you. But it's not just promised to you, it's promised to people around about you. Because here it says, and he was talking to the people of God as were Israel, and he speaks to us as the people of God. He says, see, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander of the peoples. So he's speaking really about David there. But surely, then he's speaking about the people of God, surely you will summon nations who you do not know, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he's endowed you with splendor. You know, when God changes your heart, when you come to him in your emptiness and your brokenness, and he changes your heart, he forgives you and cleanses you and makes you a new person. And when he says, you know, I want my spirit to live inside you, we're endowed with something, with someone magnificent. The very person of the Spirit of God takes up residence in a cleaned heart. You don't have to be a Pentecostal to believe that, let me tell you that. And he would endow you with splendor so that you might be a signpost to people, to the nations. And so he says this: seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. I don't know whether you are people that do that. I don't know whether you do that in the privacy of your own lives, whether you do seek him, whether you do call on him. It's a privilege to gather and do that together. You are always invited to be part of that. But seek him. Call on him. In verse 7 it says, let the wicked man forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him to our God, for he will freely pardon. And I look at that and I think, well, I wonder who that wicked man is. You know, who's that wicked? Who's the man with the evil thoughts? It couldn't be me. Why, I would never have anything I need to turn away from. There's nothing in my life that I would ever have to forsake. Well, those who live with me would know, well, actually, Michael, yes, there is. And those who get to know me well would also realize, Michael, yes, there is. I'm not a perfect man. And neither are you. And so you are given this wonderful invitation to seek the Lord while he may be found and to have this glorious reorientation, or this glorious rearrangement happen in your life that God does. And that's why I ask the question, what is it that God has been growing in your life? Now, it's pointless coming and saying, well, Michael, I became a Christian back in 1951. What more could God do in my life? I remember talking to Lynn's mum, who I highly esteemed, a godly woman who I really appreciated her counsel. And I remember sitting in their sunroom one afternoon and just saying, I said to her, what's it like when you're mature and you've been walking with the Lord for a long time? She said, oh, you become so aware of how much further you've got to go. I thought, oh. But it spoke volumes into my life. It wasn't about having arrived. Nothing's got to change in me. And God wants to do a glorious rearrangement in your life, no matter how long you've been following Jesus. And perhaps the longer you follow him, the more sensitive your heart becomes to the things that are yet to be changed. Don't be discouraged by that. Be encouraged that God hasn't finished with you. There are things that, yes, you need to forsake, get rid of. I have not once chased the rubbish bin down the road in my street. I've never chased the rubbish truck. Once that bin has been emptied, I go, ah, good. I got the rubbish the right way around. I didn't get the recycling out when I should have had the green waste, you know. Sometimes I get it muddled up. But I've never chased the rubbish truck. Please give me my rubbish back. I'm glad that it's gone. And you know, when you come to Christ and you confess your sins and when you forsake the things that are just not godly in your life, don't chase the rubbish truck down the street to get it back again. Be glad that your sins are forgiven. You've got a fresh start. He has made things right between you and him. Forsake the stuff that had no good place in your life and walk on free and clean. Be pardoned. Be pardoned by God. And the verse that drew me to this passage of Scripture. And this excites me. I hope it excites you, because I hope it doesn't discourage you to think that God's ways are so much higher than your ways. It actually encourages me, because I think, well, I've got the Word of God, the thoughts of God, the ways of God revealed to me in His Word. You've got that too. And His ways are higher than my ways or your ways. And what a magnificent thing that is, that I've got and you've got the best counsel, the best information, the best direction, the best advice that can be given to humankind. You've got it. And that's why I sometimes ask you the question, where in the Word have you been? Because, you know, when you come to His Word and you open, you pray, say, Lord, teach me your ways. When you come with a sense of knowing, God, I know that your ways are so much higher than my ways. And your thoughts are so much higher than my thoughts. And you don't keep your thoughts to yourself. You've bared your heart. You've revealed your heart to mankind. What a privilege that is. And whether you feel like it or not, at whatever the time of day, you know is the right time for you to sit with His Word. He would speak into your life. And He would grow things in your life when His Word takes root in your life. And it will have effect. He promises it will have effect. Because this is what He says. He says this, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so my word does not go out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. So what has God been growing in your life? Now, I think this is pretty amazing, just from a very limited knowledge of science, which I'm guessing Isaiah may not have known. I don't know whether Isaiah knew that, you know, the rain falls and it waters the earth. I'm sure he knew that bit. I don't know whether he knew about evaporation. I don't know whether he knew about the activity of clouds. I don't know whether he knew about the science of all that God has set in place. But God inspired him to say this very thing, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it, right, without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish. Here in the Word of God, we've got a bit of scientific information that I don't know whether Isaiah would have known that. But he wrote it down anyway. And I think there's lots of parts in the Word of God that have this information that far preceded scientific knowledge. But you know, when God's Word is given to you, when you're sitting and reading, or when you're coming and gathering, or in any number of ways that you give attention to His Word, and when you seek Him and when you desire to listen, then something, God does something in your life that He initiates, that He intends, that He then accomplishes what He desires. Now, do you take great heart in that? The highest priority information that will ever be is in our hands. I think we're a blessed people. But we're not just a blessed people so that we can be blessed. We're a blessed people so that we can bless. And God's heart is revealed in this. God's heart is revealed that this message was for the nations. Go into the next chapter and you'll see, you know, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Now, we've got some people from South Africa, in Australia. Yeah? We've got people from other whose family of origin are other parts of the world. The gospel is from people of all nations. It's for people, the people of East Gippsland, that don't know that it's for them yet. And His Word working in our lives will accomplish what He desires. And that accomplishment will be an eternal accomplishment. It'll be an everlasting accomplishment. It has eternal ramifications. And I believe when we go out and trust Him, and we go out with the joy and the peace that comes from knowing the gospel, I believe it changes the world around us. It changes people's lives around us. Because we're signposts to where people can find hope and peace and life. And God says in the last part of verse 13 that this will be for the Lord's renown. Not for your renown, not for my renown, not for Lakes Entrance Baptist Church's renown, but for the Lord's renown. For an everlasting sign that will not be destroyed. There are lots of people that we're rubbing shoulders with that we had no idea that we would be rubbing shoulders with this year. And we're glad of the opportunity to be good neighbours. And glad of the opportunity when questions are asked and when conversation starts to flow. We're glad of the opportunity to tell people where real hope and where real life and real security can be found. We're glad of that opportunity. And we're glad that God brings about a glorious readjustment in people's lives. I pray that you be glad that he brings a glorious readjustment in your life, where we consider that, you know, God's given me what he's given me for a reason, and I'm starting to work out what that is. And I'm willing to invest my life, my time, and the resources that I've got, whatever they may be, into the things that will make an eternal difference. My prayer is that we would be up for living gloriously readjusted lives and having healed souls that are not stuck with the idea that life is all about me. The life that God has given you is for a greater purpose than that. And I'm glad as a church to have the privilege of stepping into that together. Just in closing, I'd just like to just say this, that your life flourishes when you wholeheartedly accept that God's ways are higher than your ways. Your life flourishes when you wholeheartedly expect that his word that has been planted in your life will grow something that God desires. And I believe that we can live lives that flourish no matter what the challenges have been or no matter what the challenges will be. And I pray that you are up for some glorious readjustment. And that we won't be people who want to go back to Egypt or want to go back to what things were before COVID-19, that we'll be up for a glorious readjustment, whatever God has got in mind, because his ways are higher than your ways and his thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And would I be reasonable in suggesting that it would be arrogant on our path to say, God, no readjustment necessary in me? Or if we were to think together, God, no readjustment necessary in us. That would be arrogant. Now, you might think differently. I'd be happy to have a conversation about that and listen to why you think differently. But I think we have the opportunity to live with confidence and hope and expectation and to be up for the glorious readjustment that he's always purposed for us, and that he is unfolding in 2020 into 2021. Amen. I think it would be good to sing a song.
Speaks of the great love shown for us when Jesus went to the cross, and the great change that brings to any life that trusts completely in what Jesus has done. Praise the name of the Lord our God. You might stand and sing, it makes it easier. Cast my mind to Calvary.
Cast my mind. Oh,